Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Thursday, March 25th, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. We're live with you guys every Thursday afternoon. Thank you guys for tuning in on YouTube at the Game Chat Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like the videos there. We live stream these every week. So they'll all be on YouTube. Make sure to go check those out. Kind of a chilly day here in Boise, Idaho, but we're going to be breaking down, as you can see from the title, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Washington football team, and continuing our rebuilding series before we get to the NFL draft, and then we're going to go to the Sweet 16 and break down the rest of the bracket, depending on how much time we have. It's going to be a good show, so appreciate you guys tuning in. The number to call if you want to call and get on the show, ask us a question. The number to call is 646-668-8672. That is the number to call to get on the show if you want. Reed's going to be joining us for, I think, the majority of the show later. We've got a great show to you guys today. Eli and Brandon will be here in a minute. They are currently at Dutch Bros getting us some energy drinks for this show. Thought they'd be back by now, but I'm just going to ride solo for right now. I don't think I've ever done a solo pod or a solo live show, so thanks, guys, for joining me. And, the NBA trade deadline was today. I think that just actually finished up right now. Big move of the day was Vucevic going to the Bulls. I really like that move for the Bulls, just for Zach LaVine. We're a big Zach LaVine guy here. Went to Bothell High School, obviously. He joins Vucevic, the center for the Magic, joins Zach LaVine and the Bulls. Lonzo Ball, people thought he was going to get traded. He's in New Orleans still. So that's about all we got for the trade deadline. Reed is waiting in the Zoom room. Reed, I'm sorry, Eli is not here right now, so he will get you when he when he comes back on. Anyways, all right. I think we should just start with the Philadelphia Eagles, and when Eli and Brandon get here, they can just jump on in. So, again, if you guys have not been following along, we've been going through each division and basically talking about their offseason plans, rebuilding their team, what they should do during free agency, what they did now do in free agency, maybe what their draft plans are, what their situation is with the cap, their needs going forward, and everything else. So, oh, hey, you guys are back.
Hey, YouTube.
Said, hey, YouTube. Oh, Brandon and Eli are back.
How's it going?
Reed's in the Zoom waiting room for Eli. I don't know where Eli is, but
he's getting his laptop.
That's yours. That looks like poop.
Poop brown, baby. This is so good.
You gonna give me a sip?
What are we talking about?
We got the Eagles, Giants, and Washington football team.
There we go.
On the schedule today.
I'll just see it.
I've never done a solo thing like that. That was awkward.
I thought we were like, man, Jack probably just sitting there.
I almost just didn't start the show. I don't know how those people do it by themselves.
Are we on the blog talk?
Yeah, we're on everything.
Awesome.
We're
live in the deck?
Is Reed in your...
Yeah, he's in the waiting room.
Okay, that's what he told me.
Looks like a gentleman in here.
Yeah, it does. That's good.
Good.
You got Reed on?
No, it's not in my way. Read.
All right. Let's get going with the Eagles. I feel bad for everybody that's listening. I know there's probably like three people. But
there's three people. How are you doing?
Yeah, those three people matter.
Yes, thank you.
That's what I've concluded.
Thank you for being here. All
right, we got a caller. I think it's Cole. Might as well just take his call, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the game chat.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Cole.
Hey,
I called
Cole.
Because
hey,
I felt bad. I felt bad, Jack, that you were alone, and so I was going to try to talk to you until Eli and Brandon got back. But I do have a question.
Okay, shoot.
So the Blazers traded for Norman Powell today. I don't think I like to trade that much. I think Norman Powell's an underrated player, but we also gave up Gary Trent, who I think is a really good player, and we gave up Rodney Hood, and I don't know if I like that trade.
I figured you wouldn't like that trade. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, but yeah, I think they might just be capitalizing on Gary Trent's value right now in being a younger player, and so they think Norman Powell's better. I don't know. What do you think about it?
I mean, I haven't really watched NBA, like, recently, like, especially the Raptors, but I remember Norman Powell from when the Raptors beat the Warriors, and, I mean, he showed up in some big moments. He's a good key piece, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, I saw the trade, too, and I was wondering what you guys thought about it, so. But, yeah, I didn't really like it either. I don't know. I don't see him as that top guy, for sure.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me kind of is we lose – Gary Trent was, like, our main defensive player. Like, he was our main – he guarded the best guard on the team every time. Like, he'd guard LeBron when we played – he guarded LeBron when we played him in the playoffs. And I don't know if Norman Powell – Norman Powell's a scorer, not really a shooter. And we have 10 scorers.
Are you sure?
On the team,
I think that's what they want Norman Powell to do is guard their best player.
I might be wrong about that, too. But I was a big fan of Gary Trent, so that kind of made me a little sad.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, he's averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah, he's having a good season. But
I heard they like his shooting percentage a lot better than Gary Trent's. Apparently, Gary's only shooting like 40 from the field, and he's shooting like almost 50. Pal.
Can you hear that, Cole?
Yeah. I think okay. I'm warming up to it then.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Cole. Yeah. Okay. Well, now you can't see Jack. Yeah. There you go. That works. Perfect. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Reed.
How are we doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Good.
All right. Reed is our fourth co-host today. All right. Let's get into the rebuilding. Let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles is where I think we should start.
Yeah, we're going to be here all day.
Okay. What an interesting offseason for the Eagles. They, first of all, trade Carson Wentz, $33 million in dead cap for for Carson Wentz, for a third rounder and a conditional second rounder. They believe that pick is going to be a first, pretty much, right? And the Colts believe it's going to be a second. That's the interesting part about the trade, is that each team thinks they're fleecing the other one.
It's the two tweets. One tweet says, oh, we give up a second rounder, and the other one says we received a first. So.
Yeah, right.
The great debate.
I think the Colts are gonna make it a second rounder. Is it based on how good they do this season, or is it
based on how much Carson Wentz played?
Yes.
Oh. So if he plays more, it becomes a first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's probably gonna be first.
It'll be a first. I don't see them playing anybody else at quarterback. So.
I don't either. And then
first good anymore.
Fired Doug Peterson. This was one. They were one of the longest or the longer head coach quarterback duos, even though they only been together for like 4 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Fire Doug Peterson and hire Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni. The parallels between the Colts and the Eagles are hilarious. But so new coach coming in from Indianapolis. Their losses this offseason, obviously they lose Carson Wentz. They also lost Jalen Mills, their safety slash corner, signed with the Patriots, I believe.
Yeah, Patriots.
They gain Joe Flacco.
Thank you, Eagles.
So.
Thank you, Eagles.
Good news there. They also signed Anthony Harris, which is a really underrated signing, the safety from Minnesota, to basically just replace Jalen Mills. It's like an older version of Jalen Mills. Like, that's pretty much what it is. It's just like they didn't want to sign Mills to the longer deal, and so they just got a guy that's going to replace him, but not for the long term.
I really, the Joe Flacco signing, people laugh at it, but I mean, I feel like it could be a good situation for Jalen Hurts to learn. I mean, Flacco's obviously got a lot of experience, but I don't know. If you evolve an offense around Jalen Hurts and say something happens, I just don't know how you throw Joe Flacco in and expect him to run the same offense.
Right.
You know, like, they're just two completely different players, but I do think that Flacco will be able to help Jalen grow as a quarterback and kind of learn defenses and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree with that. All right, so the Eagles have 11 picks in this draft, I believe. Hold on, let me...
Breaking news. Houston is trading Victor Oladipo to Miami. Wow.
Victor Oladipo to Miami. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a first, a second, two thirds, two fifths, three sixths, and two sevenths. So 11 picks, but seven of them are in the last two rounds.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the sixth pick, though, because that's where this Eagles offseason gets interesting. Reed, what are your thoughts on what the Eagles should do with six?
I think they take whoever the best player is at that spot. I think they stay away from quarterback and receiver. And just, if it's a tackle, if it's Micah Parsons, I could see them going in that direction. I think they need talent. I don't think there's, like, a specific position right now they need, because they need pretty much everything besides quarterback if they believe in Hurts. But, yeah, I think they need whoever – maybe Kyle Pitts. That would be interesting if they go with him. But I think whoever the most talented player is at that spot.
Yeah, I think they need to – they obviously need to make up their mind about Hurts. And I think they have. I think they're rolling with Hurts this season.
Yeah,
I think they're rolling with Hurts and Flacco.
I think it's a dumb deal.
So, yeah, I kind of agree, Reed. I think, in my opinion, if Kyle Pitts is there, I think you take him. I don't think Zach Ertz is playing for this team this year. And you just need the best player available. You need good players.
I would trade back from 6 to try to get in that 10 to 12 spot, somewhere around there, and I'd probably go for, like, Rashawn Slater or the other guy from USC. I like them going offensive tackle or just offensive line in general.
Okay. Interesting. You don't think that? I just think they need help at receiver. I think they need some sort of playmaking. They don't have any playmakers.
Yeah, well, they have Greg Ward, and then they have Rager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they also have Miles Sanders still, so I see that left tackle spot was a problem for them last year.
No, definitely.
And they had Lane Johnson on the right, but he was hurt all year, but then they had, Peters there for a while, and he got hurt, and then they had no one. So, yeah, I don't know. I just see them go off the line, but I totally agree that they need pieces regardless, so.
I wouldn't be opposed with them trading down either. I guess with 11 picks, though, that's my only thing is, like...
Yeah.
I mean, you need, like, more first-rounders would be nice, but...
Even a second.
Yeah. I think the good thing for the Eagles is I don't know if I would take Chase or Waddle or Smith if they're there at the top. I like Pitts there more at 6, even though I think Chase is probably... valued higher. I like Pitts there at 6 or trading back and maybe getting a lineman because I think this wide receiver class is so deep that with two third round picks and two fifths, I think you'll be able to find a decent receiver in one of those later rounds. And I also think I wouldn't be opposed for them drafting a quarterback in that late round either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I like
Kellen Mond.
Man, if those are true about those Kellen Mond like rankings where he's just flying up some people's boards, maybe not. I wouldn't spend like a third rounder on Kellen Mond, but the guys that I really like, for them late, like Jamie Newman from Wake Forest, I could see like KJ Costello from Mississippi State, I think. Wow, this one has Kyle Trask at 11.
Really?
That's crazy. What the heck? They have,
whatever receiver... They end up going to receiver. Whatever one they take is going to end up sucking. Like, receivers just do not flourish in Philadelphia. There's something about
Well, especially when you have Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Throwing you the ball. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like them taking a receiver at the top. I think they need things other than just receiver. So I'd be kind of disappointed if they win receiver, and then I think this receiver class is deep, but they could grab another one later.
For sure.
Do I have anything else on the Eagles?
I mean, defensive-wise, who do they still have?
Yeah, they need everything on defense, pretty much.
Man.
So,
I mean, they still got Fletcher, probably, but that's about it. So,
yeah.
Maybe they didn't re-sign Graham, actually, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, you're right. Yep.
But, yeah, and the cornerbacks and safeties, they need help big time. So maybe that's not a bad trading back and then going for J.C. Horn or
Derek Barnett making $10 million for them.
Yeah.
Darius Slay is also on there. They have Darius
Slay
for a long deal, I think.
Well, I wouldn't mind with them going for a second corner then, and trading back to that 10 to 15 spot and getting Horn or Surtain or,
for sure.
I mean, even they want to try to take a flyer on Farley with the back injury, but.
For sure. For sure. Reed, anything else on them? Eli, anything on them?
No, I mean, they've really done nothing this offseason, which is disappointing, but...
And they still have hurt.
I mean, yeah, hiring a new coach, we'll see how that pans out. I mean, my guess is he won't be their coach in, like, 2 years. They're on the down right now. Yeah.
Well, we said they have 11 draft picks, and they're probably going to get more because Zach Ertz is on his way out, too. So,
yeah.
They're going to go full rebuild.
National Mock Draft released a mock draft yesterday. I'm going to reference this a few times just because I really like this guy, and he's been pretty accurate in his mock drafts the past few years. He had them trading with the Bears, so trading back to 16, and they had Waddle still at 16. I'd be fine with that. If you can get Waddle at 16.
That's good value.
I like that. And Waddle with Hurts would kind of be fun.
It would be
fun. Yeah. I don't know. That wouldn't be horrible. I'd be fine if they did that. And then Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Pitts at 6.
Did they play together, Hurts and Waddle?
I don't think so. I think Waddle, I mean, they might have been on the roster at the same time, but I don't think Waddle played, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who was that guy, Jer?
The
mock draft?
National mock draft. If you don't follow National Mock Drafts on Instagram, do it. They are a very good follow. He does some good stuff. Another one that you go, do we buy in on Jalen Hurts? What's our career projection for Jalen Hurts? What if the next, like, 3 years, what do you think?
I don't think it's bad. I think he's 2 years in a backup.
Like, plays 2 years in the backup?
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of a similar thing with Tua.
Yeah.
I mean, they both, Hurts with Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a little bit, yeah. But... Like, they haven't really had, like, they've had a couple shots, but, like, we haven't seen them play, like, a whole season. But, yeah, I don't really know. Like, I kind of just have mixed feelings on him. Like, I feel like Hurts could be pretty good. I mean, he's had, like, he had one pretty good game, didn't he?
Yeah. Keep talking about it. I'm going to look up his stats.
Yeah, because I remember, I think he had, like, and I don't remember what it was, but I think he had a good fantasy game. I don't know how good his actual game was.
That's the thing is, he might be okay for fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. But the only thing is, like, I think he's – I don't think he's bad, but I don't think there's anything around him, at least not yet.
Yeah, I think he's a better fit for this Eagles than Carson Wentz was. I think that Super Bowl team, Wentz was a good fit for that team with a good O-line and some backs that were explosive, but now I think – Hurts is a playmaker, and I don't know if he's, like, a really good playmaker, but they're going to roll with that right now because they got a lot of question marks on that offense and defense. So they just need someone that can make plays, which I think Hurts can do.
How do we feel about Miles Sanders? I mean, last year was supposed to be his breakout year. Wasn't really what Eagles fans and, I mean, fantasy owners hoped. Like, what do you guys think his future is?
I believe in the talent of Miles Sanders. I just don't. Hurts is going to have to prove something as a passer in order for Sanders to be decent. Because I'm looking at his stats right now. I mean, he won one game against the Saints as a starter. He started four games. He was 1-4 or 1-3 as a starter. The game that he won, he was 17-30, 167-1, and then ran for 18 carries and 106 yards.
Oh, wow.
So that was a good game. Then against the Cardinals, they lost, but he was 24-44 for 338-3 and a rushing touchdown.
Yeah. Those are two. I remember those fantasy games. People were going crazy.
Yeah. And then they lost to Dallas. He threw. He was 21-39.
What was the score of that game?
37-17.
Okay, that's when they were up 17-0.
Really?
And then Dallas came back and won 31-0. They didn't score for like three quarters.
Yeah, he had two picks. He was sacked six times against the Cardinals.
Jeez.
And he never had a good. He never had a QBR over 60.
Yeah. Their offensive line was terrible.
He's going to be a good fantasy guy. I think he's going to put up enough numbers in fantasy that people are going to like him. But I don't see him being a super successful NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
If you want to win, yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, and then just his team. Like, you know, after the draft and the rest of free agency, it might change a little bit. But he doesn't really have a lot to throw to right now.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any – he doesn't have good protection, and their defense doesn't have – well, the defense isn't good.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're never going to blow out, which is kind of maybe an upside because he's probably going to try to throw the ball most of the game. But, yeah, like, he's going to get sacked a lot. And, yeah, he's just –
I hope they let him run. That's what he's best at. I hope they let him – I hope they cater their offense to that rather than try to just make him a drop-back passer.
For sure. Build around him. Don't try to form him.
Yeah. And, yeah, his completion percentage and never over 50 – his highest completion percentage was 56.
That's bad. That's not good. That's bad. It's really bad.
Anything more, Reed?
My question to you guys is, do you think that Hurts pick was a good pick? Like, because of his talent, or do you think it was bad because it shot at Wentz's confidence? Or do you think he was just fragile and that put it over the edge for Wentz?
I mean, obviously now, looking back at it, it was probably good now that Carson's gone, but at the time when they made the pick, I didn't like it at all. And I think to your question, I think it's right. I think that them drafting Hurts definitely put some doubt in Wentz's mind, right? And Wentz was already struggling with the mental part, so. I think ultimately it's going to hurt them.
Yeah, I do too.
Question.
I think, yeah, Wentz was – they traded a lot to get him and then give up on him after one bad year, and then they give up on their coach too. It seems like they made a lot of rash decisions this offseason, which,
yeah,
you know, doesn't really help the team.
And now they're probably going to be bottom five in the NFL, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the New York Giants. I am a big fan of the New York Giants offseason. They re-signed Leonard Williams 3 years. What did you think, Reed?
I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Is that Cole in the background?
No, it's like overlays. We can hear us.
Oh, okay. Re-signed Leonard Williams 3 years, $63 million. They signed Adoree Jackson 3 years, $39 million. We can touch on that in a second, the Adoree Jackson. The big signing, obviously, for them, Kenny Golladay, 4 years, $72 million. We talked about that on the last podcast. John Ross and Kyle Rudolph, I really like those signings. I just like the low-risk, high-upside for both of those players. I think Kyle Rudolph is a literally perfect tight end to complement Evan Ingram right now. With how often Evan Ingram gets hurt, I don't know. I just really like that, both of those signings. John Ross is insanely fast. If he pans out, great. You paid $2 million for him.
Yeah.
What do we think about those signings? Because I think the Leonard Williams one was necessary.
Yeah.
He's definitely the core of that defense.
Yeah.
And I think that defense is on the rise.
100%. I mean, they wouldn't spend the money, right? They wouldn't pay a bunch of different people. And the Kyle Rudolph one's kind of crazy because he almost didn't end up with them.
Yeah.
He failed a physical because of a foot injury. And then, but it went through, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I really do believe that they said Daniel Jones, we're putting pieces around for this NFL, like for this team. You need to be the quarterback we drafted you to be.
Yeah.
And if they want any success, it's going to be on him because I think they got enough around him.
Yeah, I really like the, I guess John Ross isn't like a huge piece necessarily. He could be, but like, I like the sort of the contrast. Like Kenny Golladay is a huge target and John Ross is just a speedy guy that'll go down the side or whatever.
Yeah.
And then also about this team, like, I keep forgetting that they have Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, same.
Like,
same.
That just slips my mind just because I've seen him play, like, 3 games in the last 2 years or something like that. Right? I think he
yeah.
played more last season. But, like, he's missed out on pretty much 2 whole seasons, which is really just a shame for fans of football because when he does play, he's electric. But
yeah. Reed, what do you think about this team?
Yeah, I like a lot of their signings. The Kenny Golladay one is, to me, my idea question mark. They can cut him after 2 years if he gets old. I think forces a lot, but, after 2 years. But, yeah, I think they're going all in, which is smart because they have the back on the rookie deal and they have the defensive pieces. So I like them because, they can definitely be contender in the NFC, especially since how weak it's been this last year. So I definitely like a lot of these signings.
It's definitely wide open, right? The Washington football team took advantage of it last year, but Dallas is going to come back with Dak, and then the Giants team, they obviously added so many pieces that they should be a lot better. So I really do believe between those three teams, this is wide open. Who wants to go get it, you know? And I think it's a revamp year for the NFC East. I really don't think that they're going to be nearly as bad as last year.
I think this division's interesting because it's going to be one of the closest divisions. And, like, some people may say it's, like, maybe one of the toughest divisions just within those teams. But, like, in the grand scheme of, like, the whole entire league, I don't think these teams are, like, anything super special. They're not horrible, but I just think it's funny that, like, This division is, like, going to be really tough for all these teams. It's going to be really close. But, like, I don't think any of these teams, at least right now, we haven't really seen them play the season yet. But, like, these teams are, like, strong playoff contenders, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think they're up there with the big boys yet.
But I just think it's funny.
I think they're on their way.
They're all kind of on the same page. Like, it's not like there's one team in here that we're just like, all right, this team is going to, make it out of this division or whatever. But I think whichever team makes it out is going to have a tough time in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the same as last season. But I think I think each team improved. That's why I think we're going to get hopefully a better showing from this division. I think the jury's still out on Joe Judge. I was pretty surprised of how I thought he was a better coach than I was anticipating for the Giants. I think a lot of it was media driven that this guy's just a special teams coach and. A lot of his rah-rah speeches, I think the media was kind of like, oh, this is really dumb. But I think a lot of players bought into him. You could see the Giants culture, like, that team believed in themselves. Even when Saquon went down and the lack of weapons that they had on offense, they beat the Seahawks. And
they almost beat the Bucks.
Yeah. They believed in themselves. And so I think that shows a little bit. I think that shows that Joe Judge is not a bad coach. I'm not totally out on him.
No, I like him a lot, and it really struck me as, I try not to listen to the media as much, and I try to listen like what the players say, and everybody out in New England raved about this guy and said they loved him and said that he was a great team leader, and that's what I kind of bought into, and you're right, he led this team after losing their best player. It's hard to rally back, and they made a push to win this division, so I definitely think that they got better, and I definitely think that Joe Judge is a great leader, so I think sky's the limit for the next year of getting that playoff spot. And I ain't seen what they can do, I guess.
Yeah. So, with the Giants draft, these rebuilds are a little bit easier to do now that we know what they did in free agency. We're not speculating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have as much to talk about cap-wise either. They had the 11th pick draft. So, they have a high pick. The big needs that they have for them, offensive line. They let go of Kevin Zeitler. I think that's a bigger loss than people are making it out to be. They picked a tackle at 4 last year, Andrew Thomas. He had a really up and down year. We'll see how that pans out. That's a real bummer of a pick because Andrew Thomas was not the highest rated tackle in that draft, and they passed on Wirfs, Wills, and who else was the other guy that they passed on? Becton. Yeah, so they passed on 3, like, hey, Reed, can you mute us when you're not talking because we can hear you through our computer. They passed on 3 Pro Bowl tackles through year 1, and they had the pick of all of them. So that's a concern for the Giants, I think. you probably don't want to take a tackle. I don't think they take a tackle in the first round. I think they add later. They add O-line depth. But you made your bet at four. You're going to have last year with 15 Thomas.
Yeah, and they should be fine. I totally forgot that they have Nate Solder, which came from the Patriots,
yeah.
And he's really good. But, yeah, Andrew Thomas isn't even listed as the starter, and you take him with the number four spot. You need him to pan out. And so, right now, right tackle and interior offensive line is a big need for them. But Andrew Thomas should be able to fill that right tackle spot and keep Nate Solder at left tackle. But, yeah, like we said this before, interior offensive line is a need NFL-wide. So they should have been – they probably still can be, but they should have been more – enthusiastic in trying to sign an interior offensive lineman, all these guys went.
Especially with you have Saquon Barkley. Like,
no,
you need to protect
the line. Yeah, build the line.
Edge and corner, are there other big needs as a team? The problem is I think a corner is going to go before them. I think the Cowboys are locked in and taking a corner.
Yeah, probably.
And knowing Dave Gettleman, the Giants general manager, he wants to take a playmaker. He said that before. He said, I want to add playmakers on the offense.
This offense is going to get crowded if they take, a wide receiver or something.
No.
They probably won't take a running back that early.
They won't take a running back.
Well,
no,
they don't
no,
take
no,
a
no,
at all, I guess. But
who do they have? They have Kenny, and they got Shepard,
and
they
Slayton.
Have Slayton. So
and Evan Ingram.
They don't need to have. I go corner. Go for J.C. Horn, the dude's a beast. At
11. Who do you like at 11?
I think it's a trade back if they don't actually 11 I don't know if they trade back because I feel like all the quarterbacks might be gone but yeah I maybe a receiver, I don't need a receiver.
Well, here's maybe a deep if he's still there. Micah Parsons, is that what you said? Reed, you're lagging out on Zoom really bad. Sorry, buddy. Did you say Micah Parsons?
I did.
Put a thumbs up if you said Micah Parsons.
Can you hear me now?
Did you say Micah Parsons at 11?
Yeah, I said Micah Parsons. Yeah.
Yeah, if he's there, I think that's a great pick. He's just going to be good no matter where he goes, I think. I'm looking. Daniel Jeremiah has them mocked taking Gregory Rousseau, the Miami edge rusher at 11. I really like that. It might be too early for what some people might think too early to take this guy. Gregory Rousseau was like a projected top 10 pick. He missed last year. He's kind of slid down some draft boards. I don't know. We'll see. And then National Mock Draft has them taking Devonta Smith at 11. The problem with the Giants is Gettleman is going to do whatever Gettleman wants to do. He doesn't really care about positions. That's why I think they might take a receiver.
Do you know what Shepard and Slayton's contracts are like?
Slayton's young. So.
Slayton is young. They let go of Golden Tate. They let go of Golden Tate this offseason. Because that was their trio for a while. It was like Shepard, Slayton, and Tate.
After Odell, yeah.
Shepard is making $9 million this year.
How much time do they have left in their contracts?
He has an out next year, Shepard. He has three more years left on his deal.
They'll probably let him go.
But his dead cap goes down to $4 million next year. So I and he'll be 29.
They'll probably let him go.
So then
I don't think it's a bad idea.
It might not be horrible.
If they take a receiver and let Shepard go next year.
Four wide sets with them three and Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Jones, please do something at that point. Right?
That's the thing. That's like the ultimate test. It's like if they put all that at Daniel Jones' feet and they still can't. I mean, they're not going to be like insane, but they should succeed with that recipe. And if they don't, it's going to be easy to point the finger at Daniel Jones.
I'm interested. I think sometime this offseason we should make a ranking of the top 50 quarterbacks. I wonder where Daniel Jones would rank in that. Reed, where do you think he'd rank in out of all the quarterbacks that have started over the last year and a half? How low do we think?
30s?
I was going to say bottom half, definitely.
I'd probably say in 30s.
Like where? Okay, like Tyrod Taylor or Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. He gives you the same type of money aspect, but he's a better thrower. Okay, Mariota or Daniel Jones?
I think I'll take Daniel Jones.
The thing with Daniel Jones is he can make, he's really athletic.
Really fast.
He can make almost every throw. He's got a good arm. The problem is he turns the ball over an insane amount.
He fumbles a lot too.
He had like 15 fumbles last year.
It's ridiculous. I think I'd take Mariota. Right now, if I had a team and I needed a quarterback, I think I'd take Mariota over Daniel Jones.
I think I might too. Do you remember that one play? It wasn't, he didn't lose the ball, but Daniel Jones like broke free in the end zone and he just tripped and fell.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, he's like Eli Manning, but with speed. He's
awkward because like, I don't know. I just, when I first looked at him, I didn't take him to be like the athletic, like the quick,
yeah,
like speedy quarterback type. And he's pretty fast.
He has multiple breakaways this year.
Yeah, and I just think it's so funny. It's just like his mind and his body are on a different page when he's sprinting down the field and he just falls on one.
You
are a professional athlete playing in the NFL. You're a starting quarterback of a team and you can't even just run.
You would take Jimmy G over him, right?
Yes.
I'm looking at...
I need a backup, of course, but I'll take Jimmy G. You know, in case Jimmy G...
Because this season is all based... It's Daniel Jones.
Yeah, 100%.
If he doesn't do well, they have to blow the whole thing up.
They will go as far as he can take him.
He's their limited
Would you take
at this point.
Arnold or Daniel Jones?
Who?
Darnold. Right, this NFL.com had like four guys ranked 59 quarterbacks. They had Daniel Jones at 24.
Wow.
Who's like,
because here's, okay, here's 21, they have Fitzpatrick, 22, Goff, 23, Jalen Hurts.
He's only played
24, Daniel Jones. I know, I really think people are way too high on Hurts. 25, Andy Dalton. 26, Taysom Hill. 27, Alex Smith. 28, Tua. 29, Teddy Bridgewater. They have Jimmy G at 30.
I think
Mitch Trubisky, 31. Cam Newton, 32. Drew Locke, 33. Carson Wentz, 35.
That's
Sam
ridiculous.
Darnold, 36.
That's ridiculous. And they had James right. Jones at 24. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Interesting. Interesting.
Carson Wentz, they have a
they're
class tight end.
Yeah, they're above
Carson Wentz.
They're cloud chasing. They're looking for arguments.
We'll give our ranking later.
That's what Colin Coward did.
Look for
the argument. Let people talk about it.
And it works. Because we talked about it.
Where are we thinking? Do you think this Giants team makes the playoffs? They're what? Were they 6-11 or 6-10 last year?
Yeah, they're 2 wins away from making that playoff spot. 1 win, whatever it was.
I think they're a win. I think if they would have...
I think they were a win, and then if... Like, I think the football team might have had to lose or something like that.
Yeah. I said Cowboys. I think I'm going to say
if the football team lost, it would have been.
Yeah.
And then remember the Eagles put in Seth Bill or whatever?
Yeah. They're 6-10.
Yeah, I stuck with the Cowboys. I think I'm going to stick with them going in. I got them winning. I don't see two NFC East teams making the playoffs. I don't see it at all. So you're picking one out of the four, right? And I think I got the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, I take the Cowboys. Or if Daniel Jones can play well. He doesn't have to be great, but if he can play well, this team is going to have...
This team's going to be so much more fun to watch if he plays well.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think the division's going to be fun. Because getting Fitzpatrick to the Washington football team with that defense is going to be fun, too. I think it's going to be close. I don't think there's any way one team runs away with it.
Yeah. I just hope the Giants can make something of this, because I hope Saquon Barkley can play the whole season.
That's another thing. If he doesn't play the whole season, the whole thing is a waste.
And at what point do we call him a problem?
For
like,
sure.
It's getting scary at this point.
No, if he doesn't play this full season, I legitimately think he's not a viable like franchise option moving forward.
No,
you seriously have to be like, we're going to go get another running back.
He's pretty much missed 2 seasons in a row.
Yeah.
And the both times he got hurt, but on that field, and that's a field-side problem.
What'd you say, Reed?
I think he's just a Z. I think he's a Z too.
He's not even healthy as much as Zeke.
Yeah, at least Zeke plays. I truly believe the worst thing for Saquon is playing on that giant field. I really do. I hate to say it, but
he might go somewhere else and then be
good. Yeah.
All right, last team in this division, Washington football team. Re-sign Brandon Scherff. That was a big signing for them. Big signing to bring him back. They also bring back Kyle Allen. They legitimately have three quarterbacks in their quarterback room. Really only made three signings. Patrick, a one-year, $10 million deal. William Jackson, three-year, $42 million deal. I like that signing, bringing in a corner. And Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $34 million. I think that's a gamble because we know the talent is there for Curtis Samuel. We haven't really seen him produce huge. So I like the theoretical signing, but I'm interested to see kind of how this plays out because he was the three in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown flashes of where, like, he's really fast. He's very athletic, very talented. But it's going to be, like, can you give this guy the ball? Can you give him 80 targets? I don't know. We'll see.
And I know. I sat there and thought about the moves they've made. And obviously the Curtis Samuel thing. Like, you get all these guys with all these weapons, and then you go and get Fitzpatrick, which everybody's got their own mindset about Fitzpatrick. He's been everywhere, been everything. But when I look at the Fitzpatrick signing, I mean, I understand that they're paying Alex Smith way too much money, so I get that they had to cut him. But I don't know. The more I look at it, the more I don't see that much of an improvement over Alex Smith than Fitzpatrick. I think that if you want Fitzpatrick to be, like, if that's what they were aiming for, is Fitzpatrick to be their quarterback, why not give Kyle Allen a chance or re-sign Alex Smith? Like, why go out and pay Fitzmagic? I don't know. Like, the more I see it, the more I feel like this is just a mediocre signing for them. And then they bring in a mediocre signing compared to the weapons they brought in to, like, revamp this offense. Like, I don't know. You bring in all these guys and you bring in Fitzmagic, who shows up once every three games. But
yeah. This team has a 19th pick. I really like the Mac Jones fit.
I love it.
With this team, I just don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to get him.
I don't know how to get there. Exactly. I don't know how to get there.
Reed, would you trade up if you're the football team and try to get Mac Jones at, like, 8?
I mean, how much do you think you'd have to give up? Like, a first? Probably at least a first.
First and a second, or a first and a third, probably. And a later pick, like, 6th round, 5th round pick?
Yeah.
What's the highest you think they can move up to? Like 6, maybe?
Math.
Or you said 8. Somewhere in that little area right there, I guess, huh?
Something is a lot of those teams that are up there, like, probably really want to stay up.
Yeah, 8 was kind of a bad example because Carolina's at 8. They're not trending back.
6 is the big one, I would think.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 6.
6. The Eagles would ask for a lot, though, from the football team. The guy I'm hearing a lot about for the football team is Christian Darrisaw, tackle from Virginia Tech. I really like them taking a tackle. They need help on the offensive line, especially to get younger on the offensive line, because their defense is fine, and their defense is only going to get better. Just, it's obviously quarterback is the big question. I'm starting to think Darrisaw might not even be there. I was looking, Daniel Jeremiah has Darrisaw going there. But National Mock Drafts has – sorry?
At 19.
At 19.
Yeah.
National Mock Drafts had Darrisaw going at, like, 15 to the Raiders. They had him in a trade or something. But there's – I mean, it's been Penei Sewell at offensive line for a while. Slater – some people have Slater over Sewell. Me and Eli were talking about that the other day. There's a lot of people who like Slater because Slater can play all five positions. And now Darrisaw is rising up the draft boards, too. Tackle is such an important position that – like, the making the playoffs might have been a bad thing for this football team because they went from being around, like, 12 to 15 pick range to now 19.
Very true.
19 is a lot to move up to either grab a quarterback or a tackle. And I'm a little nervous that they might not be able to do either.
It's true. Yeah, and knowing their outlook, they probably weren't going to go far anyway, right? So you're totally right. Like, looking back at it, it's probably the worst case scenario that's happened.
I think in the top 10, it's gonna. I think there's gonna be 4, if not 5, quarterbacks: Pitts, Chase. I mean, that's and Sewell and probably Slater.
Yeah.
That's And probably Micah Parsons. I don't know what order, but that leaves scraps for 11 through 19 to try to see who. And the Cowboys are, if they stay put at 10, they're taking a corner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to see him go and get Mac Jones, because I think Mac Jones and Fitzpatrick is a much better quarterback room than. I don't think Heinicke or Allen is any sort of answer there, and I don't know why they decided to bring both of those guys back.
That's why the quarterback room confuses me so much with them, because I think that's the one piece they need besides the offensive line, and they just went out and got Fitzmagic, who, you know, does his thing, but.
Like 40.
Yeah. I don't know, I would rather run him back with Alex Smith, cut him and then give him another contract that's more team-friendly, because obviously he should be getting paid $20 million, but.
But that's, if they go get a quarterback, I think the Fitzpatrick signing suddenly becomes pretty good.
No, I agree. But yeah, if they stick with what they have, that's
yeah.
Fitzpatrick
isn't helping you out at all.
No.
I do agree, though. If they go get someone, I think it's a good signing, yeah.
Reed, what do you think they should do at quarterback?
Yeah, I think they should just probably just roll with Fitzpatrick for this year and try to draft one next year. I don't know what the QBs would be like, but I mean they're definitely gonna have to trade up unless they want to take like Trask or someone else, that whoever falls to them at that point.
Yeah,
I think
Trask at 19 is
a reach. I mean, but even
yeah,
next
I
year
think,
they're not
I
the
think,
worst. They're not gonna
I
be
think
one
you
of the
have
worst.
To roll Fitzpatrick or one of those guys. I mean, they're either gonna have to end up. There's no way they keep four quarterbacks on their roster for the regular season.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're right there. But, like, next year, they're not going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They have too many good players that they're going to be right in that middle pack, and I feel like they're going to find themselves in the same position they are this year if they, like, they all will wait on a quarterback, right? So that's the only problem I have with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could try to find one later, too. I mean, teams have done that where they find one second round, third round.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Producing, so, yeah, we'll see.
Like, Kellen Mond, I mean, the way he's rising up draft boards, I mean, if they even gave him a chance, I think it'd be better than rolling with Fitzmagic and then Heinicke and Kyle Allen.
Yeah, I think KJ Costello would be interesting if they brought him in. I think he's definitely, I mean, he's a pocket passer. I think that's what they're trying to go with. I think they're probably going to get a pocket passer for the offense. So I think that'd be interesting if they went with him.
Yeah.
I'm looking at next year's quarterbacks. You have Jaden Daniels, Keaton Slovis, Sam Howell, and Spencer Rattler. Obviously, things could change, but JT
yeah.
Daniels, maybe. Hank Bachmeier.
Jack Sears.
Yeah, I'm worried that the football team is honestly the same with the Giants. Is these teams that have great pieces but just can't figure out the quarterback.
Wasting your prime.
And you're not going to – that defense is not going to be there when – by the time you figure out the quarterback.
Steelers in the same boat. You're wasting your prime when you have all these guys on good contracts, and then the quarterback room, you're kind of just sticking with what you can have, and it just doesn't pan out. That's just not how you win today's NFL.
So, do you think the football team has a chance to run it back in this division and make the playoffs again?
I think they definitely have the chance, but yeah, obviously their limiting factor is quarterback.
Yep.
When we look at it last year, who did they start at quarterback last year? They started Kyle Allen, they started Dwayne Haskins, they started Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And then they started Taylor Heinicke in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they started four different quarterbacks in one year and they made the playoffs. So I think if they get any stable play, that they're going to be in contention with
but
the Cowboys.
But that division was way worse than in
100%.
I was going to say, yeah, like Cowboys didn't have Dak and the Giants didn't have all the pieces they signed that they necessarily wanted.
Yeah.
So like, if the Giants and the Cowboys can stay healthy, it's going to be a lot better for the football team. But yeah, I think they definitely can do it.
Yeah. All right, let's move to March Madness. We're just going to go through the Sweet 16. I think we should just give – do we want to do each game predictions or maybe like – let's just go region by region and say which Final Four team.
Okay.
Which team we like to get to the Final Four from that region. So in the West – Gonzaga and Creighton. These games are on Sunday, the two in the West. Number one Gonzaga versus number five Creighton. And then 6-seeded USC versus 7-seeded Oregon. I think Gonzaga's I think Gonzaga is an easy. I think Oregon would be an interesting game against Gonzaga because Oregon can score. I just think Gonzaga could probably score with them.
Yeah.
So.
USC's on fire right now. I think they definitely could be competitive with Gonzaga too. I mean, they thumped Kansas. That was going.
Yeah, for sure. They've beaten both teams pretty handily. That's going to be a really good game, USC Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one. But I think Gonzaga's in the Final Four. I don't know if either of those teams is gonna beat them. So. South.
I agree.
South region, Baylor, Villanova. Villanova, man. So, okay, here's an interesting debate. I was kind of listening to a college basketball podcast. So we know Villanova's best player is out right now. They've won two games with their best player being out. Is it worse that they've advanced? Like, because now you're here against Baylor. Say you lose this game. Are you more upset that you made it to the Sweet 16? Because now you're like, if we have our best player, like, we might be a Final Four team.
Yeah.
But, or would you have rather lost that first game and be like, well, we didn't have our best player?
I definitely think you take the wins. Like.
Yeah, but now you're like.
Doesn't happen often. I mean, Villanova's, it happens often to them, but.
That's my thing, is Villanova's won two out of the last four tournaments. They're obviously a great program. Jay Wright is an unbelievable coach. So it's like, I don't know, this might just make your players like sad that you're like, wow, we had the team this year to do it all if we have our best player.
I don't think it changes the mindset, though. From like, if you lost in the first round compared to the 16, like, I think it's always going to be in the back of their mind how good they could have been if they had him.
Go see ya.
So that's the only thing I would say about that. But, I mean, good for them. I mean, besides that question, great for Villanova because everybody counted them out. And look at what they've done without him. It's crazy.
They won two of the last four tournaments. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The buzzer beater.
And we don't even think of Villanova as a
powerhouse.
You don't even think of them, like, there's the Blue Bloods. There's the Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas. There's, like, the second tier. I don't even think we think of Villanova as a second tier. Probably should think of them as a Blue Blood. The other game in that region is Oral Roberts versus Arkansas. I think Arkansas has the potential to just blow them out.
Yes.
Like, Arkansas shoots threes a lot and shoots them pretty well. They could just blow the doors off them.
No.
But if it's close, I like Oral Roberts.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I mean, isn't that crazy that we're just talking about it, you know?
I've seen people, I was debating about if we could, we should do like a reseeding the tournament, like you seed them 1 through 16. And I've seen a couple of people do that, and they have Oral Roberts at like 8. And like you've got to be kidding.
Really?
Come on. Like, they won two games by a combined 5 points. Like,
yeah. It's funny because with the same question you just asked about Villanova, you could ask about Ohio State fans. Like, the farther that Oral Roberts goes, do you think Ohio State fans feel better about it?
Right. The opening loss,
but
yeah, if you're Ohio State, you probably want them to
just keep going.
The contrary to that is the farther they go, the more people talk about Oral Roberts.
100%.
And then you go, oh, the 15th team, they beat Ohio State there. Like, that makes sense.
That is true. You're going to put in the history books for
sure.
Yeah, you never remember, like, and they put up that stat, like, they're the second team in the last 4 years to win, and I was like, I totally forgot about Middle Tennessee beating Michigan State. I don't know if
you guys remember. You remember Florida Gulf Coast because they went so far.
Yeah.
That's all you remember.
Yeah.
I think Baylor is going to go to the Final Four. I think we kind of all underestimated how talented they are because, man, when you watch them, they look really, really good. Midwest region, it baffles me that Loyola, Chicago, Oregon State, Syracuse, or Houston is going to be in the Final Four. This is the region I'm most excited about watching. I think we've talked about kind of how sometimes these upsets make the games worse, like just to watch. I'm really excited to watch Loyola Chicago Oregon State. That's a fun game.
Yeah.
I think we're going to watch, like we'll be at breakfast or something, probably watching that game. That's the first game on Saturday. But, I mean, Oregon State's the hottest team in the country right now. They've won like 15 straight, something like that. Maybe not that much straight. I think they've probably only won like 7, but
close.
And Loyola Chicago, just came off a win over one of the hottest teams in the country in Illinois. So I'm really excited for this game.
I think I'm rooting for Syracuse. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm fully bought into the Buddy Boeheim hype train, and I'm loving Dad's son, little dynamic they got going there. But
Reed, did you see Buddy Boeheim was on bench mob?
Yeah, so they asked him about the Cats saying that he can be the number one pick or something.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of that.
Yeah.
Bill's got Matt Breida.
They're expected to sign Breida.
So they're not drafting running back.
But if Syracuse doesn't get it, I'm going for Sister Jean. Loyal Chicago, take it home. Get it done.
I think it'd be cool for Oregon State. I think that's a cool story for Oregon
State.
Yeah,
that is true. There's a lot of good teams in this one.
Houston would be the most boring. They are so boring.
I don't think because that would be free.
They're so boring. Syracuse is just fun because they play that zone, and now you have Buddy Boeheim. Yeah. I hope Syracuse beats Houston. I'm with you 100% there.
Yeah.
Houston is the most boring team in the tournament right now.
I think Oregon State's going to take three games. They're hot right now. I mean, I think the only team that can stop them is Loyola. So I think if they win this game, they win the next game.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. All right, final region. But I think Baylor has a pretty easy road to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they're talented enough to beat any of those other teams. East region. Michigan, Florida State. I think Florida State's another really boring team.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope Michigan wins this just because of how boring Florida State is to me.
I think this region is really boring to me. I don't really like Michigan. I think they're kind of boring, and I think Florida State's boring too. I think
Alabama's going to go to the Final Four in this one.
Yeah.
Alabama could win this whole thing. They're the team that could beat Gonzaga because of how often and well they shoot threes. I mean, they dropped 96 on Maryland. If they get hot starting shooting threes, this team shot at one point in the season, they went on like a big winning streak. This is why I think this team could win the tournament, because they've done it before where they've won like 10 straight games. Alabama shooting like an unworldly amount of threes per game and shooting at like 55%. If a team is shooting 55% from three at a super high clip, like, you're not going to beat them.
Yeah.
So that's why if this team gets hot, they might win the whole thing. Literally. So I kind of hope Alabama Gonzaga might be 110 to 110, which in a college basketball game is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
That'd be the championship. Yep.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think most of the teams in this, like UCLA, Abilene Christian didn't even score 50.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That was one of the games where, you were talking about the upsets. I was like, that wasn't a game from the beginning. You were like, oh, yeah. Once it started, like, maybe they can do it. And then I was like, oh, this is a good basketball game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. That's all I have.
Yep.
That's
it.
I think we might just end the stream right now.
What game are you circling this weekend, though?
What do you mean circling? Like, to watch?
Like, you're going to watch it no matter what. Like, you're watching that through and through.
I want to say Oregon State Loyola.
Oregon State Loyola.
Like
USC Oregon, too, I think is going to be a fun game.
Are they on different days?
Yeah, one Saturday, one Sunday. I'm more excited for the
other
day. I think
the first game, right, on Saturday?
What?
Oregon State's the first game on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think that's the game I'm most excited to watch. I don't know. There's not a ton of great matchups. And I actually think Arkansas Oral Roberts, just for the story of Oral Roberts, I think would be fun to watch.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Yep.
Hopefully.
All right, Reed.
Yeah,
we'll catch you later. Thanks for co-hosting, even on Zoom. I know that's tough for you, but we appreciate it. So thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. See you guys. And, you'll be here in, 2 weeks?
Three weeks?
Yes, sir. All right, later.
Bye, Tim. We had 2 years.
All right, we're off. Thank you, guys.